Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast, conducted in cooperation with Marketing Props. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, and today I'm speaking with John Miller, VP of Marketing for Marketo, a B2B marketing software provider. So welcome to the podcast, John.
Thanks, Paul.
So today, as part of our ongoing series, Sales is from Mars, Marketing is from Venus, we're going to discuss sales and marketing alignment when it specifically comes to lead scoring. So, John, why is lead scoring important as a component of the marketing mix these days?
That's a great place to start, because lead scoring is the process of determining a prospect's interest in your solution as well as your interest in the prospect. The reason why that ability is important is because fundamentally we think the internet has changed how people buy and research B2B solutions. Over 93% of B2B purchases today start with somebody going to Google and doing a search. The vendors who can do that best are capturing those prospects, but they're very early in the buying process, long before they're ready to engage with sales. A recent survey by Rain Today found that fewer than 25% of the new inquiries that you're getting off your website are even remotely ready to talk to a salesperson. And in fact, at Marketo, we find that the number is significantly lower than that. So at the same time, you know, you're meeting prospects earlier in the cycle, but also they want to engage the sales reps ever later in the process. People are using social media and other online research tools to evaluate and examine potential vendors. As a result, they don't want to talk to the salespeople until they've done that. If you pass these early stage inquiries over to sales, not only are you going to annoy the buyer because they're not ready, you're actually going to hurt the relationship between sales and marketing, because salespeople don't want to talk to leads when they're not yet in a buying cycle. Where lead scoring comes in a couple different places. You know, first, there's always going to be that 25% or so leads that are hot. And you do need a way to find them and pass them to sales quickly before a competitor contacts them or they go cold. But at the same time, most of those inquiries are going to go into an ongoing lead nurturing process before they become sales ready. And whenever someone is in that lead nurturing, you're going to need the ability to know when it's time to try to nudge them to the next stage and when it's time to pull back to give them some space. And that's what lead scoring helps you do.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. I mean, you run the risk of either irritating the prospect because they're just beginning their research and you're calling them, you know, hey, are you ready to buy? Or you're going to irritate the salesperson who's, you know, getting something that they're not that interested in, or potentially both of them. So talk to me a little bit about the business value that you've seen from doing lead scoring.
Well, when used effectively, you know, lead scoring ultimately means you're going to end up passing fewer leads to sales, but the whole goal is that those leads are higher quality. And you got to remember, every time marketing gives a lead to sales, you're engaging a high-cost resource for them to contact that person, and that's expensive. You know, a lot of companies have a target or a goal of, say, 5% of the leads being sent to sales ever turning into opportunities, just 5%. You know, Marketo, we aim for 25%, which is a little bit higher. But really, if you think about it, shouldn't that goal be 100%? Every lead that goes off to that expensive channel should turn into an opportunity if possible. If you can use lead scoring to help focus the sales teams, you're going to save time and money. By not wasting your sales reps' time on the low-quality leads, they can focus then on just the high-quality ones, which means their win rates are going to go up, sales productivity goes up. You know, as a rule of thumb, we think that about a 10% increase in lead quality can generate a 40% increase in sales productivity. And in a world where the sales department costs 20 or 30% of total revenue, that kind of improvement can actually mean a dramatic improvement on the bottom line.
Yeah, now that's a great point as well. And I think, you know, when we're looking at lead scoring within our own organization, you know, what we're looking at is that marketing is helping to source a lead for sales rather than influencing a lead, right? So it's a much more tangible ROI from a marketing perspective than it is through the influencing channel, which is a much harder ROI to sort of calculate.
Good point. Excellent.
Definitely. So are you using demographics, or are you finding that useful in your lead scoring when you're doing it?
Demographics are really important. You know, sometimes I think of B2B marketing, and I look to the world of dating for some analogies. You know, and just like with dating, you need to kind of start by identifying what you're looking for. You know, maybe you're looking for a brown-haired doctor between the ages of 35 and 40 or something. And just like, you know, you need to be able to understand, you know, what your ideal target looks like, you know, the same is true in B2B marketing, where you need to identify and document the kinds of companies that are in your profile of who you're going after. That's where demographics or, you know, firmographics, you know, really matter. Who is your target company? Who is your target job title? What is your target industry? You know, at Marketo, we obviously focus on B2B companies, sort of in the mid-market, and we mostly focus on the marketing role in that company. So when we can find a lead that has those profiles, we obviously score them more highly because they're more relevant to the kind of person we're looking for. Now, you can go beyond the basic demographics as well to get some additional information about the lead. You know, for example, where the lead came from or the source of the lead tells you a lot about the quality. At Marketo, we find that inquiries who come in from the pay-per-click channel are actually much more likely to be hot leads than names that we get from a trade show or from a newsletter sponsorship, for example. And we can incorporate that kind of information to the lead score. You know, the last piece of demographics really starts to get to what are traditionally called, you know, the BANT criteria, which helps you to identify where a prospect is in their buying cycle. The BANT criteria stands for, you know, the budget, authority, need, and timing. You know, in other words, do they have money to spend? Can they make the decision? Do they have an identified need, and will they be purchasing sometime soon? The challenge is that kind of demographic information can be very difficult to collect through a basic online form. So what we do at Marketo and what we recommend people do is have a basic telequalification process that tries to connect with the early stage inquiries to collect that information over the phone rather than trying to collect it on your landing page response forms. Now, where lead scoring helps out with that process is by just using scoring on the form information itself, you can help your telequalification team know who to contact first, even within that early stage of the process.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And, you know, I've noticed the same about some of the Google responses with our lead scoring versus things that are coming in versus trade shows or even, you know, organic traffic that's coming in an oblique angle to our site and finding a very specific, you know, white paper. The quality of the lead is, you know, different and subsequently much better.
Well, then that really gets into, measuring engagement and intent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So are you doing that? Are you measuring that kind of engagement and intent?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that that's as important or more important than measuring demographics. You know, because what demographics tell you are how interested are you in the prospect, you know, but it doesn't tell you anything about how interested they are in you. And, you know, just like in dating, you know, unrequited interest usually ends badly. You know, even if you have that BANT criteria that tells you about the budget, that can be limited because, you know, people's actions really speak louder than their words. And so what you need is the ability to, you know, look at what the customer actually really does to measure their prospect and engagement. So Marketo, in addition to the demographics, we're also tracking, you know, do people open emails? Do they click on the emails? You know, do they open the email repeatedly over a series of multiple days?
Mm-hmm.
Do they sign up for webinars? And then we actually look at what they do on the website itself. Do they read my blog? Do they visit different web pages on the website? And then in particular, do they visit high-value web pages like information about our pricing or information about our free trial, which indicates that they're even more likely to be further along in the buying cycle? So we combine all that together to understand not just how good a fit are they for what we want, but how likely are they to actually be engaged and interested in doing a purchase with us. We also do the flip side, which is we subtract engagement points over time if we sense that maybe their engagement is going down. You know, for example, if we haven't seen somebody come back to the site in a long period of time, if they unsubscribe, obviously, different sort of negative or absence of behaviors can be reasons why you want to decrease the score. So that way, when you have that engagement score, it really is a good indication of how interested are they right then.
It's interesting. I mean, you know, engagement is a very big word. And, you know, marketers are talking about this, you know, quite a bit. There's no single button, as I've been saying out there, that you can push that you get, you know, total view or score of engagement. I like the way that you've used this with both the positive and the negative. That was very enlightening to me. I don't necessarily score things like, you know, because I'm looking for a picture of engagement as well. I'm not necessarily scoring things like, you know, an opening of an email. You know, to me that is that there's an intent there, but there's not that much action. If they're downloading, you know, what I'm asking them to take a look at, or if they're listening to the podcast, or they're, you know, they come to the physical event or they come to the web event, you know, to me that's a much more important score, and I'm sure you're probably weighting that, you know, in your system as well.
That's exactly right. I mean, each one of these behaviors, as well as each of the demographic attributes, have in our system point values associated with them. It doesn't matter what the specific point values are. The only thing that matters is how they are relative to each other, right? And clearly, responding to an offer is weighted much, much more highly than simply opening an email. To me, it's sort of every little thing that shows incremental steps of engagement you want to track. But by properly weighting each of the different things relatively, you know, we try to get to that overall picture of engagement.
Okay. So, I mean, that infers one version of the truth, right? But I've heard companies tracking more than one kind of lead score. Does that infer that there's two versions of the truth? I mean, what's up with that?
Well, also an excellent question. You know, what I think there's a couple different types of lead scores that companies may want to track depending on their business and their size. You know, for example, a large company like Bearing Point that has multiple divisions or multiple product lines that they're selling, you know, you may actually want to track the engagement and the fit across those different product lines, because somebody interested in one offering may be less likely to be interested in a different offering. That can help you not only score the lead, but to know sort of which is the right sales team to engage with them. Another sort of way to think about it is the fact that, you know, we got to remember in B2B worlds, individuals don't buy things, companies buy things. And in any particular purchase cycle, you're going to have anywhere from, say, 6 to 21 people involved in making that B2B buying decision. And so one of the things that we do with our scoring is when we start seeing multiple contacts from the same company, coming in and developing a score, you know, what that actually does is that indicates that the company score is going up. And, you know, it might be a reason to say that there's a active buying opportunity going on at the company. And even if none of the individual leads have sort of crossed our threshold, but aggregate as a company, it has. And so we want to send it over to sales.
Right. Excellent. So do you have any methodology on how you develop scoring systems for either your company or for other companies?
Well, I think every company at the end of the day is going to be different, and, you know, because every company values different things, is looking for different types of companies, and really is going to have different needs for when they want to say a lead is ready for sales. So I think really it needs to start with building consensus across the company, you know, and especially with the sales department about what it is you're looking for, you know, what are the demographics of your ideal target. What behavioral indicators suggest that you want to take a prospect and turn them into a lead for sales? And it's only by including all the stakeholders in that process, I think, can you sort of really say, this is what our lead scoring is going to look like. I think that does need to be a sort of an individual process for different companies. Once you have that, you just assign the points to the different systems.
Agreed. And, you know, I think it starts with a really hearty version of what is a lead, and, you know, the conversations around defining the attributes of a lead, as you had kind of mentioned before, so that you have, you know, total clarity across the groups as to, you know, what is it, and when you have a lead, what does it look like, and therefore you're better able to engineer that into the system.
That's exactly right. You know, I think once you have all the different pieces agreed upon, you know, with sales, with marketing, with the other stakeholders, you then need to find a way to essentially implement it. You know, small companies or companies who have very simple rule systems, you know, can probably find a way to do that either just manually on spreadsheets or using the rule system in their CRM software. You know, otherwise, I think companies with moderate levels of complexity or volume are going to need to try to find ways to automate that process and should take a look at some of the lead scoring software that's available.
Definitely. Well, thanks again for your time today, John. I really appreciate it. And for our listeners, now it's your turn. Please let us know what you're doing to integrate lead scoring into your company. We would be glad to continue this conversation with you online. And we'll be back again next week with another ProfCast. So thank you for listening.